to photos that happened here in Vegas. Just a little bit about myself. My name is Marco Spiering. I am the head of product for Flickr. I originally come from Germany. I guess you can hear this on my accent. It's hard to get rid of. It's not Alabama, no. I started at Flickr about a year ago, so it's actually not that long, but I have been a very, very long time user and also, I guess, evangelist for the site. I started to use it back in 2006. I actually wrote a book about Flickr and photo sharing in general, so I was like always very passionate about this site, and actually it's quite amazing for me today to work on the core product and to be responsible to evolve Flickr. For the ones of you over here that are not familiar with the site, maybe it looks already familiar or not, that's our most trafficked page. It's our photo page. Most of the people see it when they come from any of the preferred big image search engines. They land here. And a few things that I want to emphasize around our product is Flickr was not always a photo sharing site. Flickr actually was developed as an online game. And it was a game which didn't have a specific sense. It was just fun to be social with other people in the online space. It had a chat component. You could share photos. And it was all truly positive. There was nothing negative within this game. And those are two aspects that you actually still can find on Flickr. Like, there's nothing negative. Like, everything on Flickr is meant to be positive. We thought, for example, to implement, you know, most of actually content pages in the internet have a rating mechanism, and we decided against it. Like, we don't want to have negative ratings on photos. We just added favoriting, which is really a positive action. The origin from the game is still be seen today. Like, in every feature, in every site that you find on Flickr, it's not called, like, our websites are not called photo.php or search.php or whatever. It's actually called photo.gne. And GNE stands for Game Never Ending, which was the original, I guess, source of Flickr. A few things about the photo page. We launched this photo page late last year. I think it's truly beautiful. It absolutely emphasizes the photo. The photo is the centerpiece of the whole page. All of the other content is not cluttered around. I think it's very structured around it. And if you know the old photo page that we have, we had all of those little icons sitting on top of the photo. We organized all of those into a simple actions menu. We also use the metadata that we get with each and every photo to create a story around it. So on this one, you can see, actually I can't see it from here, but this photo was taken on March 31st in South Beach, San Francisco, using a Samsung Omnia 7. So we use the metadata we have in order to combine and tell you a story and give you a context of the photo that you're seeing. At the same time, we use the geo information that we have for more and more photos. And San Francisco is quite clear, but if I just go down, like, I don't know, 15 minutes out of the city, and I'm all of a sudden in Millbrae, California, my parents, like back in Germany, they have no idea where Millbrae, California is. So that's why we show a very zoomed out view of the map. See, it's like they can see, oh, all right, it's actually in the US. It's in Northern California. And then if you take your mouse and you mouse over, we give you a different zoom level. We already zoom you in without clicking or anything. And then if you move your mouse on top of the dot, which is actually there, you get another zoom level. So you can really experience and really dive in where this photo actually has been taken. The other advantage of using this signed out map on this photo page is it's not very colorful, and it doesn't distract from the photo. Discord. Few numbers around Flickr. There are 5 billion photos on the site today. Most of the photos are public. They can be used within applications. We have a lot of photos that are also Creative Commons licensed, that also can be used in many, many different ways. We have over 60 million members. We started to accept different identity providers last year. So I don't know if you guys know, but today, like, you can create a Flickr account based on a Google ID, based on your Facebook account, and based on a Yahoo ID. And for us, the main purpose is people should use our product, and we don't care if they come with a Yahoo ID or with a Google ID or with any ID. We're going to expand this to more identity providers, but it's the barrier to enter Flickr recently, or I guess since last year, or till last year, has been way too high, and we made it easier, and we now actually have the highest amount of signups per day ever in Flickr's history. We are approximately getting, on a normal, I would say, Tuesday to Friday, we're getting about 3.5 million new photos a day. The amount of photos is lower on the weekends, and we will never actually deploy a feature on the site on a Monday, because on a Monday we are pretty much busy holding our servers, because Monday is the day for us with the bigger uploads. And it's kind of understandable, right? Like, people go out on the weekend, they take a lot of photos, then in the morning they come to work, flip in their SD card, and upload all of the pictures to Flickr. On the flip side, the highest days of mobile uploads are on the weekend. So people don't really wait, they just stay out and take pictures and upload it directly. So, quick side story. We have about 2,900 third-party applications which are active, and you can find third-party apps like in the mobile space for every mobile operating system. You can find them in web pages. You can find them in devices. You can find them in desktop applications. So it's really hard to, identify where all of those little pieces are being used, and sometimes it's not like just a Flickr application, but it uses Flickr in order to enhance the whole experience of a given product. We have with close to 180 million geotagged photos, the largest repository of images that are geotagged in the world, and Flickr is one of the most recognized web brands. So, how do we define Flickr? And this is actually something that the following two slides are slides that I actually gave to the team. They are internal, but I'm happy to share them as well. It's like, in the past, we always had this cute marketing speech, and I think we're going to continue to have it, but especially in this sense, where we are starting to describe who we are, what we are, it's not enough anymore. So if you actually go on Flickr today, in your browser, right mouse click, view source, you will see this meta tag, which is name description, and then Flickr is almost certainly the best online photo management and sharing application in the world. And that is, unfortunately, it's very cute, but it's not enough anymore. Like, it has to be this. It has to be bar none, no questions asked, without a shadow of doubt, undeniably, certainly the best photo sharing experience in the whole world. That's our mission, and that's why we are growing the team. We are going to ship a lot of stuff in 2011, but that's what we are signing up for. So, how do we get there? Like, all of these three points, simplicity, usability, and performance, they're actually quite connected. For a photo sharing site, there are three major ingredients. One ingredient is upload. If you don't have a really good upload function, like, it's going to be a really bad photo sharing site because you don't get any photos up. you need to have a really great way to view your photos, to browse your photos. So this is this whole consumption part. And especially for Flickr as a photo sharing site, we need to have an incredibly well-designed sharing functionality. And all of these three pieces, upload, browsing, sharing, they all have to work together. It's right now, if you upload a bunch of photos, like you see all of those progress indicators, like for like, I don't know, like depending on the number of photos and size of your photos, but maybe for like 3-4 minutes, you see those progress in the indicators progressing in front of your face, and you can do nothing but wait. So in this time, you could already like identify, well, those are photos that I took like on a certain occasion, and I want to share them with those people right after it's finished. I could use this time to enter metadata in order to enhance my experience on Flickr and also for others. So you see that sharing, browsing, and uploading are core pieces that work together. Usability. Flickr is still today, we got better, but it's still today pretty hard to use. There was a reason why I wrote a book about it, because actually people had trouble using it. And we need to make the site simpler. We need to make it more understandable so that more people actually can use it. I don't know if you remember the old photo page. There was, in order to navigate from one photo to the other, there were like two little thumbnails on the right-hand side, and you had to click one of the thumbnails. Like, almost no one got it. Like, it was below a 1% of people that actually navigated from one page to the other, like, or from one photo to the next photo. Simplicity and usability, in the new photo page, we added like previous and next buttons up there. And now like people, there's a 2-digit percentage number of people that actually go from one photo to the other one, which is honestly huge. The other thing, yes, performance, it's clear. This happens like for all of our mobile apps, for our desktop apps, for websites, like performance is key. And even though it's sometimes such a no-brainer to talk about, but it's something that we are going to focus even more as we have in the future. In the past, sorry. But doing the basics right is not just enough. We need to come up with absolutely innovative and new experiences, how you look at photos, how you organize photos, how you share photos. And this is not limited only to Flickr.com. This absolutely also goes towards mobile, this goes towards tablet devices, etc. And we are starting to position, actually we shipped a new share infrastructure 2 weeks ago. We are starting, and this was the first time when we made this announcement to the press, we are starting to position Flickr as a hub, which means that you know, first of all, we don't care where you're coming from. It should be absolutely easy for you to enter Flickr, to participate in Flickr, to upload your photos, and have your photos in this wonderful and secure experience. Secondly, we make it easy for you to share your content outside to your friends that probably are not all on Flickr. Like, we would love if that would be the way, but for many, many people, like, most of their social online circle is on Facebook. So in the past, you were forced, in order to share an album that you have created over the weekend, from a weekend trip, you went down to a winery and you were with a couple of friends, or you had a party with your kids. Like, you were almost forced to make those photos public so that your friends on Facebook could see them. And this has changed. Like, with this new share infrastructure, you are able to have non-public photos on Flickr and publish them using this new feature towards to Facebook, where people actually can see or get an indicator that you uploaded new photos, that you made this new set available. And then without also signing into Flickr, because they may not have a Flickr account, they can experience your photos on our site. Overall core usability improvements. Very, very small feature, but it was almost impossible to find one of your friends' photo stream. And with this with these type ahead suggestions in our search field, if you just start to type in one of your friends' names, either it's like the screen name or the real name, it's we give you direct links and you can directly go to the photo stream. Additionally, all of the stuff that we do on mobile. We're going to look this year very strongly into andorflickr.com, which is our web experience. It's already there in two different flavors. It's for like feature phones and it's for WebKit browsers. We are expanding the functionality on the WebKit side. We have a ton of integrations. Those are right now primarily on the Android side. If you get a new device, like you will be asked for your credentials, and then all of the native stuff, actually, like camera and albums, are Flickr enabled. And we put a big, big emphasis on mobile applications. And this year actually started out well. We shipped a Windows Phone 7 app that we really, really like, which we think is absolutely beautiful. And we're going to take the Windows Phone 7 app concept, I think, also to another level. So we're going to make some changes and focus this app application more. And we will roll out this new focus also to other mobile platforms. So here it is, Flickr for Windows Phone 7. When we saw about a year ago in Barcelona, Microsoft rolling out Windows Phone 7. It was like I gave our business contact at Yahoo. I gave him a call and said, "Well, you need to bring us in touch with the right people. Like this is actually quite beautiful, and or the whole operating system, and we want to be part of it." So later last year, we had a chance to work with great guys from Microsoft and build actually an experience we think turned out really well. I'll give you some of like the learnings in a few slides later. But we started off with this approach. Well, there is on all of those devices, there's this Pictures Hub, and this Pictures Hub uses like this background image, and it's clearly around pictures, it's clearly around photography. And we thought, well, our app also is around photography. We want to have a very similar emphasis. At the same time, we knew that not only people that have Flickr accounts will use this application, so we developed this signed-out experience where we use an Explore section. And for those guys who don't know Explore, it's a mechanism that we have on our site where we per day determine the 500 most interesting photos. So we feature this content right in the application when you're not signed in. And it updates on a daily basis. If you swipe over, so this is like this home panorama, if you swipe over, you see all of the photos that have been taken nearby your location, right? It's probably content that may look familiar to you, especially when you live in a larger city. On recent, there's like this ongoing content stream of new images coming into Flickr, which are about 4,000 photos a minute. On videos, we give you a selection of the nice videos we have on our site. The video percentage on Flickr is quite low, but we fortunately have some of really good videos. But our focus, as you also can see, like all of the first four panes, actually, they are photo-centric. But we also have great videos, which we wanted to highlight. And we have this feature, galleries, which I'm going to talk a little bit later on. So once you're signed in, like this doesn't make so much sense now, because when you're signed in, we want to deliver something personal to you. And this is what we did. We focus on all of the recent activity you have, which is a major use case for a large percentage of Flickr users. It's like all of the comments they received on their photos, all of the conversations that actually happen inside those comments. Every time someone adds a photo as a favorite, every time like someone adds you as a contact, you have direct access to image search. You have direct access to upload right from the first screen. If you swipe over, you see the recent uploads from your contacts, from your fans and family. And then if you swipe over to the next pane, you see everything that belongs to you, which like it's actually great because I can pull out my phone, I can start this application, and I have all of the, I think I'm around 4,000 photos on Flickr right now. I have them all the time with me, and I can present them in a very engaging way. If we go a level deeper, we have all the different pivots controls. And what we decided here, we're going to get rid of the background image. We wanted to have just a plain white background. And it actually mirrors quite well the Flickr user experience on the site. Right? It's very clean. It's very structured. You can switch between grid and list views. You can go through a user's photo stream, through its favorites, through the sets a member has created, see its galleries, or see like the profile information. But it's a strong emphasis on cleanness, on nothing disturbing or distracting, and being on the Flickr brand and approach, like with the white background. The photo page itself is also like on our site, we wanted to have the actual photo being the centerpiece. Like that's the one thing that has to stand out on this page. And I think we achieved this. I think this one line actually, the first dotted line on the screen, is the fold. So if you imagine like the photo is really centric, and we still give you a title and description and some of the metrics like views and number of comments. And we trigger a tiny, tiny little part of the map. So you know there's more coming, and you are encouraged to swipe down in order to see the full map, to see or to learn where this photo has been taken and to see other metadata around the photo. But the design approach or product approach for the photo page is very similar to the photo page on Flickr. It's like photo is the centerpiece and all of the information comes below. So we have the challenge that we didn't want to create like this huge long list of content on one single page. So we decided to break out the photo itself and the comments to a photo. And both are very related. And it would have been a pity if, you know, you read comments and you don't see the photo at all anymore. And you don't have, you know, you may have a comment that points out a specific detail, but you are on a specific page and you would have to swipe back and leave this page. So what we decided to do is we show you a small portion of the photo. It gives you enough context, we believe, to remember what you have seen. Just in case it's not enough, on this page you can tap on this little strip up there and it expands. So you can still see all of the comments, or you can see the relevant comment and you can see the full image. And if you want to go back to, a more full view of all of your comments, you just tap the image again and it collapses again. Also, if you are on the actual photo page and you tap the image itself, you enter a full screen experience. We take as much advantage as we can from the screen. You can also, once you enter this view, you can tap again, and all of the controls that you see right here are also going to slide away and slide out. So you have a true full screen experience where you can pinch to zoom, you can swipe left and right to see the previous and the next photo. So it's a really nice browsing experience. Upload is also pretty tricky, and we're going to, in future iterations, we focus more on capturing, I guess, and upload. But I think we had a really good starting point in this app. So if you take a look at your phone library, and you take a lot of photos with your Windows Phone 7 device, you may not know anymore which photos you have uploaded or not. So what we do is we give you little indicators. You see the little Flickr dots. Those indicate photos in your photo library that are already on Flickr that you don't need to upload again. Secondly, We know that a lot of people look after really quick uploads. They don't care a lot about like adding title, description, especially when they're on a mobile device. They prefer to add all of this information back when they are on their PC. So if you simply double tap the thumbnail, it goes up to Flickr instantly. If you tap it once, you actually go into this upload screen where you can add metadata. But if you just, you know, you just snap something, you just want to broadcast it out to the internet, you snap it, double tap it, and there it goes. And also something that we built in for sure is sharing to social networks. Right now, it is limited to Twitter, but with the new sharing infrastructure, it's we're going to support all of the networks that we support on the site, which is Facebook, Tumblr, Blogger, WordPress, and some additional services coming. So stuff that we learned, and stuff that actually was surprising to me as well. The very first app we shipped without integrating into the Pictures app, which was a mistake. Especially if you have an app that would make sense to be in this share menu that you find on Windows Phone 7. Like, spend those, honestly, like 10 additional lines of code. It's super easy. But get an integration into the share menu. We see today that a very large percentage, it's not the majority, but it's still a very stunning percentage of users, actually starts the app from the Pictures app. And it's very naturally, you know, like people take the phone out, press the camera button, snap a photo, go into the share menu, upload to Flickr. So if you build an application where it makes sense to integrate into the share menu, do it. The other thing which was very surprising, I guess in the beginning, was signed out doesn't matter. Like, our future mobile apps, including future iterations of Windows Phone 7, of our app on Windows Phone 7, won't support signed out anymore. Like, it's we built this complete scenario around signed out usage. Like, I wrote, like, I don't know, I think 50 user stories on like signed out. And then when we look into the numbers now, like, over 90% use the app signed in. Don't worry so much about signed out. There are many identity providers. If you write an app, give users or let users know why you need to authenticate them. Let them know what your app does. But in the end, don't worry so much about signed out. Give your app focus. I was very worried because we didn't actually provide support for groups, and we didn't provide support that you actually can edit all of the information for your photos, like edit a title, edit the description for photos that are already uploaded to Flickr. And like, the focus this app currently has is about like getting full access to your photo stream, and it has a very consumption-centric experience. So like, these whole edit flows, they actually were not needed. And it's just about focus and being able to tell a story. If you have the time and money, or if you have the resources, then to hire a designer, it's highly recommended. When we came out with the app back in January, like, yes, there was some functionality actually missing, but people didn't write about it. People didn't see it. They were just, oh my god, this app is beautiful. So please, especially in a mobile environment, and I think there are a lot of learnings from the iPhone, actually, and is build really beautiful mobile applications. And the other thing, it's true for everything we do, it's like performance. Like, don't test on the emulator. Like, the emulator lies to you. Yeah? Don't use your cell phone and use it in Wi-Fi areas. Like, use normal cell phone connections. Like, if you're on certain US network providers, like, travel to downtown San Francisco where you have almost no coverage and see like how your app is behaving. It's really test on normal conditions, and don't be tricked by Wi-Fi connections. A few words about our API. and a few words about how we work at Flickr. At Flickr, we don't have a release cycle. At Flickr, we deploy to production 10 times a day. At Flickr, everyone in engineering, luckily, can deploy to production. We built all of our features on our site on top of our own API. So the process, and I choose this bridge metaphor here, because it kind of emphasizes or highlights it quite well. We build a feature, but at the same time, we build the API for it. So usually backend is building the API for the feature that we want to build, and then frontend and the site itself is using this one single API. So the API for Flickr is not an afterthought. It's always developed together with the site, with the feature. That is also the reason why all of our own sites, all of our mobile stuff also, it's all purely based on the same APIs that we give out to developers. There's no single difference. There are some API calls which we cannot release to the public, like, for example, sending out Flickr-branded emails. Like, it's something that we're only going to use internally, because this could this has a high risk of spam. But most of the site functionality, and we are counting right now about 180 public API methods, it's all available to developers. Like, the way how you can upload photos, how you can organize photos, how you can download photos, how you create sets or galleries or identify people in photos, it's all in the API. So potentially, what could you do? If you build an app that circles around, you know, it's like some photo editing software. We see this a lot on tablet devices these days, where you can stream your photos from Flickr, you can enhance them within an app, and you should give users then also the ability to share those photos back to Flickr. Once they're on Flickr, we give you full access to our share infrastructure, so you can use the same destinations very easily with, I guess, really two API calls in order to share a photo or a content that was created or identified by a user over to Facebook or to post to Tumblr. Like, you can use all of the connections that we actually have developed on our site through the API. There are a lot of applications that use the geo-based content that we have. I'm going to show you an API call example. You won't believe how easy it is. And as I said, we have a lot of Creative Commons licensed photos that can be used in, you know, like, also again on tablets, we see a lot of picture frame applications, just browsing app applications. And we even see Flickr content populating in games, in mobile games. There are actually quite a few cool games that just use or leverage content from Flickr. So one of the most powerful APIs methods we have is photos.search. And you don't need to authenticate against this API. You can use this without authenticating or the user authenticating against Flickr. If you want to have some private photos from one of your friends and you want to build more like a social Flickr experience, you would have to pass over the user ID and the privacy filter, but you don't have to do this. If you're just looking for public and safe images, you can simply throw over some tags, some text, and we give you like probably millions of search results based on the query you gave. If you look for content within like a specific geo position, you can simply use like lat long and a radius. So we give you all of the images that map actually the search query for like this specific radius. If you wanna be even more detailed in the area you define, you just create a bounding box with like four coordinates, geo coordinates, and we give you all of the content that we have for this specific region. And I guess there's almost no place on Earth where we don't have photos for. People in photos, we can determine, or you can determine also with your app, who is in a photo. We can give you, or we give you API methods where you also can search for people in photos. You can search for like a list of people that is in a photo, or you can also just this bounding box, which is around a person's face. You can extract this, and you can just get the coordinates. If you, for example, if you want to use people's faces in an address book application, for example. Galleries, probably like we have this mechanism that I spoke about, Explore, where we determine the 500 most interesting pictures on Flickr. I'm not like it's great, but I'm not, or I don't think there's actually the collection of most of the best Flickr content. I believe one of the best sources for Flickr content actually are galleries, because those are curated by Flickr members. They are handpicked. They are not picked by a computer. They have a lot of descriptions around it. People give their reasons why they put together those galleries. You have galleries for almost everything, and the content which is in those galleries, like, it's not very leveraged in many applications today, but it's actually stunning. If you have a few minutes in the evening and you browse through our suggested galleries, for example, on the site, I'm pretty sure you will be amazed. And then, last but not least, Flickr sharing all of the functionality that we have in this menu to share to Twitter, to Facebook, to Tumblr, to all of the other services, including sharing private images, non-private images, etc. It's all going to be available in the Flickr.sharing API. We launched this feature 2 days ago on our site. We usually have a process. We launch it on our site first, then we give it to a couple of developers to work with it, to give us feedback as well. And then it's usually in a 1 to 2 month time frame, we roll out the APIs to the public. In order to learn more about the API, we have a developer guide, developer.flickr.com. It walks you through the things you should know about the API. How to request an API key. You can get a non-commercial API key instantly, where you can start developing. If you work for a large corporation or you make tons of money with your app, then we encourage you to get a commercial API key. This could take a little bit longer, but all of the information is on developer.flickr.com. And then we have this almost unknown, but it's actually such a great tool, API Explorer. You can test every API call we have on our site. And if you are signed into Flickr, you can test it with all of the data you have. Like, you can test it with all of the full permissions that you have, and you can really test drive what kind of responses you get, how you call the API. You can see at a glance all of the different parameters you can add to your API query. And it's a great way to get familiar with the API before you actually embed it in your code. So once you have done all of this, we give you also an opportunity or a platform to showcase the stuff that you have built. We call it App Garden. You can add screenshots to it, a description. People can favorite it. You can add a link to your website. It is highly visible in search. And it's great. And if we also identify that it's a good application, we're also going to feature it on our homepage. So in the end, head over to developer.flickr.com, follow.flickr.api, @flickr.api, and read code.flickr.com if you're really into API development. And then build your code, submit, and you're going to be showcased in the App Garden. So in the end, thanks. And there's always this little side note, yes, we are hiring. If you specifically know really good product managers, designers, developers, send them to me, marcus@flickr.com. Thanks, guys. was about 45 minutes, so we have still some room for questions, if you guys have any. Yes. So the question was, how do we manage performance issues on the Flickr API side?
Yeah.
Right. Did you use specifically like the search API call? Because we had big problems around the search API call, and there was some time where like search timed out and it was slow. But as I said before, I guess like one of the big priorities, like starting last year and specifically this year, is like making the site faster. And since our site completely relies on the API, like we're also making the API faster. You know, this is we cannot, like if you work on a client application, you're pretty much constrained, I guess, by the platform you're working on. And I think we are pushing with the Windows Phone app sometimes the boundaries of the platform. You can be very smart in your app about like finding the right way to cache. This is also stuff that we need to continue to figure out. Like we started to ship the app with little caching, but you don't want to also disrupt the experience. Like you also, if there is new content, you want to serve new content to the user. You just don't want to provide the cached content. So this, and I don't think we have figured it out completely yet in our Windows Phone 7 app. But it's, I think, really around caching and what you can do there in order to increase the client experience.
So, I have another question. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the issues that we had to work around? We tried to. The challenge is, especially for us, if you're in the photo space, you want to load as much as content like readily for the user to view and to see. And I think, as far as I can remember, is we tried to load too much data in the beginning. You know, like we wanted for you to have a seamless experience that, like, you load the app, you get all of the panels already populated. We tried to do it all at once, and then if you use the app today, it has a lot of lazy loading. Like, you're on one panel, and then the next panel is still empty, and we had this populated all in the beginning, but at this time, you couldn't use the app anymore. It was like you couldn't swipe from one panel to the other. And now with the lazy loading, like once one panel is loaded, and then we give it a few seconds, we load the other stuff, you can swipe over. We have loading indicators. We didn't have the stuff before. Like we were like, okay, no, we can get all of this content at once. And it's not that much content, and it was too much. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, this one, I forgot the name. There are a couple ones, and they are, for example, the one that I have in mind is it's a photos puzzle, you know, which means they show you a picture in the beginning, and it's like broken glass. It breaks, and then you have to puzzle it together, and all of the images are coming from Flickr. But there are also AR games like. Where you like walk through the city, and sometimes, you know, when there's geotagged content, there are photos shown from Flickr in our library.
I noticed that you have some social capabilities in the app. And I'm using Flickr quite a lot.
All of the third-party facing stuff, like for example, posting to Twitter, posting to Tumblr and stuff, it's all developed in-house by using the Twitter and Tumblr APIs. Yes. It is the only difference is with Facebook, where we are piggybacking on really broad Yahoo, Facebook integration, which they did. But yes. But if you authenticate, like we use the standard Twitter OAuth process or the Tumblr OAuth process and so forth.
You mentioned that you are not focusing on the sign out process. Mm-hmm.
Then you sign. I guess that's another question. Like, do we want to support multiple accounts at the same time? That could be a use case, especially like with more and more kind of commercial accounts. You know, that like there's a company and there's like a personal photo sharing. So yes, this is something we may look into, but this still doesn't solve your problem, like if you have a signed out experience only, right? I mean, you will need to sign in order to see your company stuff or your personal stuff. This was really more around, like, and it was surprising to me. I was advocating really hard for like having a signed out experience and, you know, like try to get the Flickr experience to new people. But almost everyone has a Facebook ID these days. And if you just allow them to authenticate against your service with one of the IDs which are out there, you have to develop less, and you give them so much a better user experience. Like, we still want to show you the ability, for example, if you are at a photo, we still want to show you the ability, for example, to enter a comment. And if you are signed out, like, you entered a comment, and then in order to actually save it and add it to the photo, like, you have then to go through this whole like sign-in process. And it's actually so much better if you be very honest, this is the app, this is why we like to sign in, and then you give the user a much better user experience, and you save yourself a lot of headaches. I mean, there's the platform is quite new. Even though I cannot think of a lot of challenges we had, it's actually we were very pleased how easy it is, for example, to deploy a build to your phone. Like on other platforms, it's quite painful. I can't think of real challenges. I mean, there was stuff around performance which we had to figure out, where we had to implement a lot of the lazy loading stuff. But it's, I don't think there were really like those big challenges. Actually, just the ability with a couple of lines of code to get yourself into the share menu. It's also something that's existing on Android, but that was actually a really nice experience. You know, it didn't take very long to do this. No?
Overall, how long did it take to build the app from scratch?
Oh gosh, you will be surprised. We started late last year, and we shipped it to the public in February. We had a pretty good version ready, like early January at CES. It took us a couple of months. It took us last year's Christmas. it was surprisingly fast. The thing that helped was, well, you know, we didn't have to develop any new APIs. Like, we just could use those. we spent a fair amount of back and forth and thinking and discussing and evolving the design. But overall, it's a couple of months. Yeah. Cool. I guess that's it. You guys have a great show and great couple of days here in Vegas. I'll be heading back now.